Caden Procaccini. Sources for the Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and the New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.
Left has gone away, and there's nothing there for you to do.
Hey, all right. Welcome back to the Snackers. I'm Jimbo, and this is Emiliano. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, Jimbo.
Yeah, every week we come up here, and we're talking about snacks first, usually.
Snacks first.
This week, however, I'm just going to tease what we got next week. As you know, we've been talking the whole year about the renaissance in prepackaged, pre-popped popcorn.
Yes.
That we're living in the midst of.
Right now.
Right now, at this moment, both in the flavors and in the popping technologies.
As You've been teaching me a lot about that with your expertise in that.
Yeah, you know, and it's an expertise born of passion, not from any kind of training.
Yeah.
But when you care about popcorn...
Being a fan is...
Yeah. But so next week, we are actually going to have Steve Smart. I wonder if you can guess which popcorn product he was responsible for inventing. Yes, Steve Smart.
Steve word.
Steve, yes. Something to do with the Steve word. But this week, okay, we're going to skip the snacks, or rather we're going to leave them for later because we never skip snacks.
Mm.
Do not, kids, do not skip snacks.
No.
Emiliano, do you skip snacks?
I do not.
Kids, Emiliano does not skip snacks, and neither should you. So
don't take my snacks.
We're going to go to that feature we call Book Report. Book Report.
Book Report.
Yeah. Boyd Caring, welcome. Welcome to the Snackers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's glad to be here.
It's such a thrill to have you here. I'm sure many of our listeners who have no idea who we are, they just stumbled onto this show. They're like, oh, Boyd Caring, that's the guy who wrote et cetera, et cetera. You have a new book out?
Not titled, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, we have the titles here. It's called Two Counties Over. So I guess what I want to ask is, I found it fascinating that this is like your sixth book. And
six and a half.
It's the first one that it's based on your own actual life experience.
That was the only life I knew, so I went with it.
So this was the story that you've been waiting to tell your whole career.
I didn't want to tell anybody.
Well,
but I needed the money.
Let's tell our listeners a bit here. This really happened to Boyd Caring. He was 5 years old.
It's very exciting.
5 years old. He was at a daytime summer weekend celebration, and he was accidentally, for a matter of mere seconds, left alone as a 5 year old in an operating balloon.
Hot air balloon.
A hot air balloon. And it was unsecured, untethered. We'll get to the amazing description of that.
Why exactly your
father left the basket, why he left for 1 second, and why that was untethered. And anyway, he flew away. He flew, you know, two counties in width.
Hence.
And this is in central Pennsylvania.
The title.
Two counties. And in that time period, he figured out, as a five-year-old, how to land the balloon. This happened. This happened to you. What do you remember? The book, obviously, is not a fictionalized version, but a literal, what do you say?
Literally.
Telling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Literal so
fiction.
What do you, what, like, if you just spoke in terms of visual memories and what you most remember of that experience, were you scared, and how did you figure out how to land the thing?
Well, I had seen in the cartoons back then, there were a lot of balloon cartoons.
There were, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, balloon cartoons were probably the rage of the 60s.
Yeah, there was a nostalgia for balloon travel at the dawn of the jet age, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. So, you watched the hippopotamus in the balloon, and then Rocky was in a balloon, and then there was balloons figured into Swiss Alpine fantasy stories and things like that. And you knew to how to control the...
The
thruster,
the burner,
you know, the burner. What do you call it?
I think it might be called a burner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you should know, having written the book about it. So we're going to go with burner, and then flying over these picturesque farmland counties in the Lancaster area of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. A lot of small cows is what I remember. Really tiny cows getting smaller and smaller.
And so you tell this story, finally you held out on us for your career, writing very many other successful books,
etc., etc.,
yep, including etc., your second book, etc., etc. What finally moved you to the place? You said before there was a financial motive. Mm. Like, why you're telling this story now?
Yeah, I'm broke.
Broke.
Yeah.
Broke.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. It didn't sell as well as, you know, you might think.
Yeah, I think, and you were even banned in certain southern counties.
Yeah.
School, banned yeah. from libraries and schools.
Well, yes.
For impertinence, not for any anything objectionable.
Hammered down. Yeah, and they couldn't point to too many, you know, actual sentences or claims or
right.
profanity.
Content, some content issues.
I think that Louisiana
impertinence.
That Louisiana district just said this book doesn't need to exist.
That was a harsh.
They had a problem with the glorification of teacher student romance, as I recall.
Okay, so there was some borderline objectionable content in it then.
Minimal.
Okay. So, you know my favorite of your books, meaning the one that I've read? I've now read two-thirds of the new one, Two Counties Over, because that's what I always do.
You're the guy.
I read two-thirds, yes.
Two-thirds is enough to then ask
did you
questions.
Buy the book or
No. I found a PDF on a Russian site.
Yeah. Cheaper like that.
So I've read two-thirds of the new one. That's what I always do before any interview. I read two-thirds of the book. I don't want to know the ending. And when I show up, I'm going to seem very knowledgeable about your book because I'm going to remember lots.
Up to a point.
But up to a point, and then you're going to say something, or I'm going to say something finally that betrays that I have no idea how it ended.
Right.
And that's kind of my thing as an interviewer. It's like two-thirds knowledgeable, one-third completely faking it. And liable to get caught.
And hence our title, Book Report.
Book Report. That's right.
Right.
Getting through that last paragraph. So my favorite book was, it was a prosaic title. What was it? It was Tree Village. Showdown at Tree Town.
I don't recall what I finally made a decision.
Yeah.
I think
between
it was
those two titles.
I can't even remember which one I went with. In the end, I think it was Tree Town.
So in this book, a father in 1930s, 1940s, Pennsylvania. The wooded area of Pennsylvania builds his kids an elaborate tree house, and it just turns out that the configuration of the trees in the yard permit him to continue to expand it as if it were like the Winchester Mansion. It develops new tiers and levels,
hallways,
and all kinds. And you know, it just becomes his passion far more than his kids were ever his passion. This tree village becomes his passion, and his kids and all the neighborhood kids start spending more time up there. Father is called away to work. He can't spend, you know, it was too much of a labor of love. He gets called away to work. He's not on the scene much anymore. And the kids up there start doing nefarious and subversive things and plotting insurrections against the adult world of central Pennsylvania. And it's a really frightening and funny book. And they begin to do things like breed new species of fauna. They begin to get into some pretty serious science or black magic up there.
Squirrels and robins and
all kinds of things. And they seem to be gaining thought control over the animals. And this first comes to adult attention, to central Pennsylvanian adult attention, when the turkeys in the region are very clearly, very deliberately sacrificing themselves to shatter windshields.
Kamikaze.
To shatter windshields all over the county. Now, this didn't happen.
Not factually.
Well, in what way did it happen?
No way similar, but birds have hit windshields.
Well, yes.
And they still do.
Yeah, and turkeys can do damage.
Not just in Pennsylvania.
Oh, turkeys are like the moose of the car impact.
Yeah, and for them max altitude is pretty much windshield.
Yeah, yes.
Know? Maybe they can get up to truck windshield on occasion. Mm-hmm. You never see them soaring really though.
No, they can.
They can get high? You think? I mean, get up there.
They can soar. Oh, they can soar. Turkeys, they don't
They keep it to themselves.
Emiliano, yeah, if you had to guess, Emiliano, what is the maximum achievable altitude of a healthy turkey?
You see hanging out on, you know, on electric, not on electric lines, but on electric poles. I mean, you can sometimes see some of those turkey vultures and stuff hanging out above. How do they get up there? They don't climb. They don't scramble.
No,
they don't,
is a turkey vulture shimmy. A turkey? No, it's a vulture.
No, right? but they're
Why are they even called turkey vultures?
Well, they must, when they're neither.
They are the fat lords of vulturedom.
But a turkey can get up maybe 15 feet. But I don't see that they don't glide.
So Boyd, it's been
well. If you were to release them,
if you hit
from
one
like a balloon,
right? Yes.
They will soar.
You have a thing. It is one of your themes is the different manners of flight, and in the world.
I think almost
all of your books.
Almost dying young from a flight
related disaster.
Yes, near it's kind of imprinted.
Yeah. A Private Hindenburg.
Yes, that's actually. I was thinking of my next book being called My Private Hindenburg. Hindenburg. Yeah, thanks for letting that out.
It's like Miyazaki and the losing of the parents, which apparently he did as a kid.
Had happened.
Yeah. Shows up in these mythic worlds of his over and over again. Yours and Dangerous Flight, Violent Flight,
Turkeys, and Balloons,
Ill-Intended, like Mean-Spirited Flight, shows up multiple times in your work, like flying with an attitude, flying with a chip on your wing. You know,
and damage in the future.
Yeah, and what damage
should write destined about? Destined damage.
Yeah. It's really
it's another possible title.
So thanks for coming on and listening to us talk about you,
your
Boyd
books.
Caring. This is what we do, you know.
Like report, nothing better report. Than hear people talk about me.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to be back after this message, right on? All right. Well, all right. Student engineers, you know. No, I shouldn't pin it on them. That's not fair. There might be someone evaluating our radio station for the quality of its broadcasting. And then I do something like that, like pulling the aux plug out of my iPad, and then when I plug it back in, not being able to restore the signal. I mean, it's playing, but it's not playing. See? It's just skipping through things. How about applause?
Oh.
Yeah, well, thank you. But no, I think I'm going to need to reboot. But anyway.
That. Or are we being heard on the iPad and the iPad being heard on the air?
Well, the iPad is just after the accident of the aux plug being violently pulled out
yanked.
Of the jack. I plugged it back in, and the application is not functioning properly anymore. When I click on the cue, it just skips to the next one and cues it up. It doesn't play anything.
Mm.
So I can't seem to get anything to play. However, I've, you know, using a methodology taught to us by the youth of today,
going
I've closed
in time,
the app.
We've all...
Would they know what you meant when you said application?
Yeah. I don't know which... I think they still call
use that term.
Use the app word. Yeah. So we're going to try... I'm going to try to bring in a drum beat here, okay?
All right. Start working on this sound with all of you. Yeah. I hear that. A little bit of a groove.
So I shouldn't have blamed,
underneath
you know, the student engineers, because obviously we're engineering our own show here tonight. We're old. That itself was not a senior incident. Here's what's going to be a senior incident. I'm going to do it again in about 2 minutes, and that's when it just like, you know, there's some ways in which you're not wet cement anymore. You're hardened, but those other ways in which your cement is now too wet right. and not grippy enough. And this is one of those instances where the cement of recent history and situational learning in the current environment is lacking. And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to just be like, because ergonomically, I want to have it over here. But the aux cable isn't long enough. But my
Well, maybe because you've spoken of it, it'll be less likely.
I
shared problem is halved in size.
Yeah.
Can you drink on the air?
That's beautiful. A shared problem. No, absolutely not. You can't eat here. You can't drink here. You can't drink water in here.
No.
Mm.
Now, I know for a fact that 30 years ago, someone used to come in here drunk and do a show.
Mm-hmm.
And probably never faced the consequences for it. That was going on 30 years
yes.
ago.
Cousin Brucey.
He was not on this station. He was on the, SUNY Cortland station.
How long does this drum bed run?
I'm not
impatient with it. I'm just wondering.
About another minute and a half.
Is that a real drum or is that
No, that's just a sample.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it can be built on.
I took lessons at some point.
It's got a groove, mm-hmm. I suppose. Simple backbeat.
What's the difference between a backbeat and a front beat?
Well, the backbeat refers to the two and the four where the snare drums hit. So, two, four, two.
And then four. The front beat is...
It's not called a front beat. It's called a downbeat.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm an author. So
It's true. It's now called the front beat.
Front beat.
You know, and a lot of people have commented on the shoddiness of your historical and scientific research in your books. Mm-hmm. Like, you make it up, and if you reach the end of what you can imagine, you don't bother to get any more facts about it. You just kind of go on to the next problem.
I take umbrage with the shoddy as a description.
Mm. Well, how would you prefer to describe it then?
Creative.
Yeah, I think creative is that's a very good way to describe it.
Loose.
Can we meet in the
loose improv? I think you can improv on history. I think people don't improv on history enough.
Well, I think people do, but I think they feel twin responsibilities to be plausible in their improvisations, because it's history we're talking about. So you're going to be, whether you want it or not, you're going to be evaluated on the plausibility of your improvisations.
Like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, and then if you are calling on factual histories, even in small amounts and even supplemental amounts, that they should probably be not riddled with error and impossible things. Would you say that you're a fantasy writer, or just that your ideas tend to end up impossible?
I'm a fantastic writer. That's what I've been described as by myself.
And he is the credited blurber on the back of the book.
Writes his blurbs and the books therein.
And I just put people's names that people would know, because they might not know me, but if I put, like, if I put Stephen King,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm.
they know him, so if I put something he wrote, he said this.
We can spell his name different.
Yeah.
Right, with a V.
Mm-hmm. Steve
right,
King, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I should have thought of that. That might have saved me some legal fees.
And that's why you don't have money now, right?
Well, the legal fees. They did eat up a good amount of the minimal profits.
You will learn someday.
Mm.
I think I'm going to start another drum beat, all right?
Oh. 7.5 books.
Hold on.
This is going to be a front beat.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys! I love this song!
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league! Ugh! I love this guy!
What's your name?
You know what I'd love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Emiliano, big news in your literary life this week. You want to tell the people about it?
I have not been published.
This week?
This week.
Whoa. What happened?
I did not receive a rejection letter. I was not published. I haven't written. Sort of a collection of, the whole array of not published, not written, not conceived, as my line, and I've started to think of myself as a retired writer, but I think I need to start to write something that gets published before I can retire.
Yeah, I believe that is part of the conditions of at least to make it.
I need to do things and then have them be publicly recognized to be able to retire from them.
Yeah,
I'm not a retired baseball player.
No. I mean, I think we could stretch the facts a little bit to say that you're retired from team competitive pursuit.
Yes,
and then we'd have to telescope some chapters of your life, change the chronological sequence.
I have played in baseball games.
Yes, have played in baseball and other
one-on-one baseball
or volleyball games, and therefore, I don't know if I would ever go with the word retired though.
No,
building
it implies a career of achievement, not even of achievement, just a career.
You know, and I love to hear the other contexts for a word like retired. Like, granted, I would say we could use that word with 98% certainty that when you say I'm retired, the 98% of people recognize that to mean is that you have
did that thing
and were paid for it.
Yes,
and then
in a professional environment, even a cubicle.
And did it for enough of a time for it to be something that you could retire from? Because it's not simply a matter of the quality.
I tried it.
The quality of the engagement. It also has to be for a certain duration, right?
Yes.
Like if you're fired from a job as a radio broadcaster after one broadcast, you cannot.
You're not a retired radio broadcaster.
Exactly. So, I guess I don't want to use the retired word, but there's another sense of that word that I'm liking here to describe this, which is sort of like the same way that a hitter in baseball within a game can be called retired.
When they're taken out of the lineup for that rest of that game.
Or even just struck out.
Mm-hmm.
The batter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
defeated. It's rather than defeated, retired, because they come back in two and a half innings.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking here. If we can tweak the context so that people hear it that way, you were retired.
I swung and missed.
You were set down by someone.
My writing goals this week.
Right, and that there will be another week in which
I will be at the plate to take swings at my writing goals.
Yeah,
and I may achieve them. I may hit them, or I may swing and miss.
Yeah.
And then be retired.
Be once again a retired professional writer. Yep.
We ain't got no superpowers, only half an hour. But that electronic wind blows our voices through your world. need for